Here's what's coming up on today's show.
Yeah, understanding what our investments are designed for specifically, we've used the golf club analogy in the past, but we want to make sure our drivers are driving and our putters are putting and all the other clubs are doing what they're supposed to do within that portfolio to achieve a common goal.
When it comes to your finances, you don't want to be at a disadvantage. Tim Dyer can help. He's a wealth manager specializing in retirement planning and investment management, and he can be that financial coach that helps you achieve your goals in retirement. This is Retirement Power Play.
Glad to have you back inside the Retirement Power Play podcast. I'm Ben George alongside Tim Dyer over at Dyer Wealth Management. And well, the market may be shaking you up a little bit. I know a lot of people, when the market turns downwards, start thinking about risk a little bit more. Why did I take on so much? Did I need all that? Or am I comfortable with where I stand? Risk becomes a big part of the conversation, doesn't it, Tim?
Yeah, it certainly doesn't. And you can pretty much tell what's happening on the market of, you know, when you go to a social event and you walk in and people say, hey, what do you do for a living? I says, well, you know, I'm a wealth manager. And when the markets are good, you know, they bring you up front and they put you up on a pedestal and they say, this is our guy. But when they're crummy, they sort of turn their back to you and say, oh, this is parties for somebody else. No, I digress. but it is kind of telling, like, the conversations that you have when markets are not cooperating, as I say. And, you know, part of it's just information, part of it's information overload, and a lot of it's uncertainty.
It sure is. And there's a lot of uncertainty right now. And that's why I want to pick your brain a little bit on risk and just risk tolerance, because we want to find out, are you a risk taker and do you need to be, right? I think that's the biggest thing, is I think a lot of us have the tendency to lean towards risk, but it doesn't always mean you need to.
Yeah, that's right. There's risk that you maybe are willing to take. And in some cases, there's risk that you might need to take if you might be short on your goals. But hey, I want to tell you a story. Actually, I was coming into the office this morning, and on our front door, we've got a little bit of signage there, and this woman was walking by and she looked down. It says Dyer Wealth Management. And she looks at me and she says, geez, I'm really glad I don't have to go to work in there today. This is no joke. And I kind of looked at her, you know, and she's holding this yoga mat. And I says, why is that? You know, she says, you know, I just don't know what's going on out there. I haven't seen anything like this. And I'm 72 years old. Huh. And I just kind of was like taken aback. Like, okay. So I go into my desk and I kind of pull up some metrics we have here. And I was like, okay, let's see. She's 72 years old. It's 2020. So 1950, right? And I just looked up from 1950 to today, there have been 15 bear markets, right? Now, we've talked about this before, but bear market is really just something that's defined as a 20% decline from the most recent high, right? And I said, she's been through 15 of these so far. And yet, you know, to her, it feels totally different, right? Because each one of them are a little bit different. So risk can take different forms. I'll add, you know, kind of one other thing here. As we're kind of talking about the markets, with these bear markets, the average stock market decline of those 15 has been 30%. Now, as of today, as we kind of record this, I think the market's down just over 20% for the calendar year. The high was at the beginning, I think it was January 3rd. So really the performance of the market and the year-to-date performance are kind of the same. Right. Or the performance of the market year to date and the performance from the high are ultimately the same.
Gotcha.
It started January 3rd. But so when we look at those, the average decline of the bear market's about 30%. The average duration for the bear to go from, you know, top to bottom, we call that peak to trough, I don't know, but from top to bottom, it's been just under a year at 11 months. Okay. 10.9 months. Now, here's the interesting thing. The average time to recover to previous highs is 16 months. All right. Now, this is the average. So there's been a few longer. And the one we saw in 2020 was only a month, if you will. So, but it isn't necessarily something that we have to live with for decades and decades. A lot of things and a lot of cycles will happen. So that's just a little bit about bear markets and gives you a little context about, you know, if things progress or, in the direction they are, kind of maybe what those ranges of outcomes could look like.
Yeah, and it's a good point to your story that, you know, things might feel different this time, but many times it's the same that we've seen before, right? The market's cyclical, so it might seem a little different or worse this time, but you just got to pull back a lot of times to see the big picture. All right, let's talk about risk a little bit and how people can figure out, A, what they need in terms of risk, how much they need to take on, how you help them identify that, because risk needs to line up with, A, your tolerance, and also, B, what you need in your portfolio. So how often does that actually match when somebody comes in and they tell you either, hey, I like taking risk or I don't? How often do their investments actually reflect that?
Never. And I'll tell you why. It's a moving target here, right? People's risk kind of change. When markets are going good, they feel, whether they know it or not, they feel like they're willing to accept a greater degree of risk because they're seeing markets go up and they're like, yeah, I can take more risk so that maybe it goes up higher. But they haven't necessarily, it's almost like somebody that's new in real estate. I early in my career, I actually had a terrible real estate deal. I bought a property out in Las Vegas, and Las Vegas was booming, and then 08 hit. And, you know, that property just totally declined in value, right? So when people say, oh, you know, real estate, most people have had nothing but positive experience around that. But if you've been through something, and I've been on both sides of the coin there, but in both scenarios, it's sort of the context of where you're coming from. So getting back to your question about risk, when I sit down with clients or people initially, one of the exercises that we take them through is we go through a stress test. And again, that's just sort of jargon for, we look at all the positions that they currently own, and we kind of run it through some of our software, and it allows us to show if, you know, things got as bad as they've gotten in the past, what would each of those investments do? Now, you know, the history doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but maybe it rhymes. But the point I'm making is that if for most of the time it's 2008, right? That time frame, what their investments did around 2008 is kind of the, for most of them, where their worst performance was, right? We call it drawdown. But let's just say you had, I don't know, I'll just say 25 positions in your investment accounts or different investment holdings. And we looked at each one of them one by one and said, what happened if the worst thing that ever happened to this investment happened again? What would that look like? And it's, you know, 40, 50, 60, in some cases, 70% decline, right? Now, that doesn't necessarily take into account the bonds or whatever, but maybe that was 15 or 20%. And you put it all together and you say, look, if things repeat themselves, like, oh, hey, this $1 million account, it could be 500,000. And I say, is that okay with you? And if it is, then we address that and start to get an idea of what their actual risk tolerance is. And a lot of people said, that's, no, we can't have that. And so it's not making a decision either way. It's just helping people get clear about what the, where those goalposts are, you know, the left and the right, the good and the bad. And is that acceptable if we play between those? And if not, we just need to adjust them.
Yeah, understanding that range and kind of seeing what those numbers could look like will help you determine what you're comfortable with. But if somebody's listening to this and you know, the market doing what it's doing, and now they're thinking, well, I need to figure out what kind of risk I am taking on. How can you tell? How can you look at your portfolio and tell how much risk you have?
Well, again, the first baseline is to run that exercise, you know, to run that stress test. There's some software out there that people can use. I think Portfolio Visualizer is one that's, they've got a free and a paid version. But I think we use something called Y Charts and Quanti. Quanti's Quanti. Those are both paid services and they're not cheap, but there's a lot of data in there and we can, you know, easily do that calculation for people. But that's the starting point, you know, and then kind of reviewing that overall allocation, how that money is split up between, say, growth investments, income investments, and stable value or cash investments is the, you know, additional component to that to really get a good picture of what that risk looks like.
All right, we're talking about risk. I think that what comes to mind is a lot of people take on unnecessary risk. Now, it could be because you just enjoy the gambling aspect of it. You enjoy that rush. Maybe you aren't sure how much risk you need and you take on that unnecessary risk. But why do you think so many people end up taking on that unnecessary risk with this retirement money that's so important?
Well, there's something called recency bias, right? And it's kind of just as it sounds. Recency bias is something that says, based on things that have happened, you know, recently, there's a belief that that's going to continue. You know, I'll give you an example. This is the retirement power play, right? I mean, the start of the Stanley Cup is tonight. And I mention that because in the last series, the New York Rangers were playing Tampa Bay, and the Rangers won the first two games. And it seemed like the Rangers won the first two games rather easily. It seemed as if they were just going to walk away with the series and beat the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning because of that recency bias. Well, game three happens, and you know the rest is history. Tampa went off to rattle four straight wins against the New York Rangers and put themselves into the Stanley Cup. So people, when they look, whether it's their 401k at work or their investments, they kind of look at what things did last year and they just walk it forward and say, okay, well, hopefully it'll do that again. And you know, you need to sort of expand that time frame a little bit and then get a little context around what those types of investments are. Again, whether they're stock market based or bond market based or a combination, and what's realistic, because everything's cyclical. We know that.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Well, I know a lot of people don't like backing off their risk because they think, hey, I'm just going to lose out on any chance for growth. I know people are targeting growth right now because they're trying to keep up with inflation. So when somebody feels that way, what would you tell them in terms of, hey, is there a way that you can reduce your risk, but also not reduce significantly your opportunity for growth as well?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I would argue to a certain degree that more people are looking to reduce risk naturally now. And some of the bigger challenges is to get people to think a little bit farther down the road or a little bit more optimistically at the opportunities that not only exist or are kind of presenting themselves in this challenging market, but also that need to stay in somewhat risk assets because of the impact that inflation is having right now. I mean, at 8%, you think about the erosion of 8% of our money just while it sits there due to inflation. Mm-hmm. And I know those numbers are really high now, and they'll probably level out a little bit, potentially. We never know in advance, but you know, it still is a front headline issue. And so, you know, understanding what our investments are designed for specifically, we've used the golf club analogy in the past, but we want to make sure our drivers are driving and our putters are putting and all the other clubs are doing what they're supposed to do within that portfolio to achieve a common goal.
That's good to know. I know a lot of people just think, hey, if I go safe, it just means that I'm getting no growth, especially with interest rates where they are. But as you could tell, that's not necessarily the case. All right. Last thing, I know we kind of talked about, you know, running that test and see kind of where you stand in terms of risk. But how do you help someone figure out how much risk is appropriate for their situation? Maybe not what they're comfortable with, but what's actually appropriate.
Well, that's something that we do with, you know, on a bigger picture with a written income plan. And, you know, what's a written income plan? That is a tool that we use to show what the probability of people running out of money is. Okay, now that's going to affect the risk, right? So if we're taking too much risk, what is that risk really doing? Well, it's jeopardizing our ability to, you know, make sure we don't outlive our money. And so having a written income plan that aligns, you know, with the current market conditions is, you know, that's going to be an important component of things. And that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of people.
It sure can. Well, I know risk is top of mind for a lot of folks right now. And if you want to get your portfolio evaluated, you want to see kind of where you stand in terms of how much risk you are taking and whether or not it's appropriate for where you stand and where you're trying to get to, just log on, DyerWM.com. You can also go to RetirementPowerPlayPodcast.com. If you want to call Dyer Wealth, you can do so as well at 858-459-3937. But I think a lot of people have just kind of seen Tim right now with the way the market's going, and hey, I do need to make sure I'm on top of my risk and make sure that aligns with what I'm comfortable with. Because I'm sure there are a few people that are saying, I didn't realize I was this risk averse right now.
Yeah, Ben, one of the things that I wanted to add here is that risk is not a dial, right? It's not something that you just sort of turn up and turn down. And sure, you can make adjustments to your portfolio to kind of adjust the risk. But the point is that risk is something that's constant. It can't be eliminated. It can be controlled and maybe minimized.
Right.
But it comes at a cost, right? They're just like levers on a, you know, you pull one lever, it's going to, you know, affect another one. And so getting that sort of calibrated so that it's understood and then people are really clear about what actual risk is. It's not just a four letter word. I mean, it is something that it comes into play. So, you know, in this current market, we see people all of a sudden they don't want to take risk, but you can't make these changes after the fact. These are things that you have to have addressed beforehand, right? Because we all know some of the biggest mistakes people make are making emotional decisions in challenging markets. And so it makes sense to, you know, kind of look at this stuff ahead of time so that when you're in the middle of it, you're not just making last minute or irrational decisions. So wanted to make sure that point got out there.
Yeah,
risk
good point.
Is not a dial.
Good point to finish on. All right, we got a mailbag question coming up. I first want to do a little getting to know you, Tim, away from the office, away from work. How do you relax? I know you do a lot of work. You're always working with clients, and with the way markets are now, I know you're reading a lot, always learning a lot, and improving yourself as an advisor. But what do you do after work's done? You got some chance to wind down and relax. What are you doing?
Oh, I love spending time with my family, my boys. We created a little bit of a rec room in the back in the new house, and then we've got a couple of mattresses back there. And I bring them back there, close the door, and we just wrestle. No, but it gives mom a chance to relax and have a cup of tea and do some things that she wants to do. And I enjoy it. You know, my oldest Luke is getting bigger, and sometimes he doesn't know when to stop. I got to have a safe word and tell him, hey, no more biting or whatever. But,
right.
And the little one's just kind of, happy to be a part of the wrestling match. But I don't know. I look forward to that when we get home. And that's one of the ways I blow off a little steam.
It's a good way to do it.
Wrestle with my kids.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun spending time with your kids, especially at this age. I know that as well. All right, Tim, let's get a question here before we close out. And this kind of ties into what we've been talking about today with the market. But Marty was wondering this. I keep talking to myself in a circle. I've been out of the market for several years, and I missed out on a lot of growth. I don't want to jump back in now just in case we have a crash soon, but also don't want to stay on the sidelines and continue to miss out on more growth. So what's the right answer?
Well, I guess it reminds me of the parable where the guy goes to the shrink and he says, I'm a teepee, I'm a wigwam. I'm a teepee, I'm a wigwam. And the shrink says to him, relax, man, you're too tense. So, it sounds like Marty, this is sort of, I poke fun here, but I'm just kidding. In fact, you're not alone. Most people are having similar scenarios. And, getting clear on what the objectives are for different monies that you have to invest or maybe that are already invested is really going to be the answer, and getting clear around that. It's very uncommon to have a continued amount of success around, trying to time things and get in and out of markets. But, and I'll just add this. Historically, the greatest up days have followed, the greater upswings have followed the bigger declines, right? And that just makes sense, right? Because, you get a really extended market on the downside, you're going to get a little bit of a snapback. And mathematically, if you miss that, any part of that, it's really removed a huge part of the return. So I guess that's just a long way of saying getting in and out of things really is not going to be in your best interest. But making sure that you have the risk and your investments aligned with what their overall objectives are is really going to be paramount.
Thank you, Marty. Hopefully that helps you out. If you have questions further for Tim, feel free to reach out to him. You can go to dyerwm.com or you can call the offices at 858-459-3937. If you want more podcasts, also remember you can log on retirementpowerplaypodcast.com. You'll see all of our episodes there as well. And wherever you listen, please hit subscribe and follow along as we continue this podcasting journey. All right, Tim, I know the market's going to be something we probably continue to talk about, it seems like, in the near future at least. So I look forward to more updates and more perspective from you.
Yeah, well, Marty, our friend here with the question, we've all heard of the term FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. But now I'm hearing the term, what is it? Phobie, right? Fear of being in. You can't win either way. But anyways, look forward to our next chat, and we'll explore in a little more detail.
No doubt. Stay the course in the meantime. Thank you for listening to Retirement Power Play. I'm Ben George. He's Tim Dyer. We'll talk to you soon.
And enjoy that Stanley Cup.
The commentary on this podcast reflects the personal opinions, viewpoints, and analyses of Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, DBA Dyer Wealth Management employees making such comment and should not be regarded as a description of advisory services provided by Dyer Wealth Management or performance returns of any Dyer Wealth Management Investments client. The views reflected in the commentary are subject to change at any time without notice. The opinions expressed in this podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referred for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Dyer Wealth Management provides advisory services through Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Dyer Wealth Management and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by Dyer Wealth Management unless a client service agreement is in place.